them. We are continuing this series on giving that we've been in. And I know we've said it a few times, but honestly, thank you for engaging in the sermon series that we've been in. Money's not usually a very fun topic to talk about even or hear sermons about. If it makes you feel any better, it's not really a fun topic to preach about either. So there you go. But really, thank you for engaging in that way because it is so important. A third of the parables that Jesus spoke about were about money. And I think Kevin said the other day, other than the kingdom, Jesus talked about money more than anything else. And so this is a really important topic. It's something that is crucial for our faith. And I think there's one more sermon in the series next week. Don't hold me to that. There might be two. You know Kevin. But we'll see. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 10 today. This is a story that we've come to start calling the story of the rich young ruler. Maybe you're familiar with that. And starting in verse 17, I'm just going to read a few verses of that account that this man has with Jesus. It says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. He said to him, teacher, I have kept all these from my youth. Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But he was dismayed by this command, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Now, before you get too worried, I don't think the point of this passage is for you to sell all your possessions, to sell your house, to sell your car, and to just start giving away everything you have, okay? I don't think God will ask you to do that in the next couple weeks. He might. He would have every right to do that, but I don't think that's going to be the case. See, the problem with this man, the rich young ruler that we call him, the problem is not that he had great wealth or that he had possessions. The problem is that his possessions had him. See, money is a really dangerous thing that can become an idol that takes the place in our heart and puts roots in our heart where it doesn't belong, and it takes the place of God. And that's really what's going on in this passage. This man leaves sad, it says. He leaves grieved. And I think this is the only place in Scripture where someone encounters Jesus and is with him face to face and goes away sad. Oftentimes, people leave confused about his teaching. They might leave overjoyed at what he's told them. But I think this is the only time where they leave depressed because of what Jesus told them. And again, it's because this man is not willing to get rid of the things that he's accumulated, the wealth that he has built up. It has such a place in his heart that he's not willing to get rid of it. And what Jesus is asking him to do is not, hey, sell your possessions. That's not the key. What he said is, sell your possessions and follow me. And that's really what it comes down to. The man is not willing to get rid of his earthly possessions in favor of following Jesus. So here's the truth. Here's the sermon for this morning, okay? Your heart follows your money. Your heart follows your money. And I think if you just think about this for a second, that makes sense. I mean, whether it's a big purchase, you buy a car, a TV, a house, I mean, you're pretty invested in something like that. You want to take care of it. You do everything you can to make sure it is working correctly. But even a small investment, maybe like a new pair of shoes. For me, those first few weeks that I have like a new pair of shoes, I treat them a little bit differently until I get lazy and stop doing that. Like those first few weeks, I kind of watch where I step. Like I be sure to avoid, you know, puddles. I'd look maybe more often, like, is there gum on the ground? I don't know. I'm careful about what I do. I might not, you know, go out and do yard work in those new pair of shoes. Or this one might not make sense to, like, you mature adults in here, but I actually, like, unlace them when I get to the house instead of just kicking them off. Instead, like, again, the first 2 or 3 weeks, I do that, and then I'm like, that takes too much time. And I just kick them off and then slip them back on before I leave. Because for a few weeks, I'm like, man, I just paid money for those shoes, and I want to take care of them. And it's not because I care about the shoes. It's because my heart follows my money. And when I spend money on something, a little bit of my heart goes to it. And that's so crucial for us to understand this morning and with our walk with Jesus. And what's really sad about the story, the man leaves because he doesn't like what Jesus said, but if we go a little bit deeper, the thing that is so tragic about this story is that the man knows he's missing something. He comes searching and asking, what do I do to get eternal life? And not only does he understand that he's missing something, he comes to the source where he needs to be to have that question answered. See, following Jesus is really pretty simple if you boil it down. You have to understand that you need him, and then you have to follow him. Now, there's a little bit more to it, but really, those are the key things, right? You have to understand, I need Jesus to save me, and then I follow him. He understands the first one. He understands there's something missing, and he comes searching. He's like, there's something I need that I don't have. And he gets to where Jesus is at, and it's right there in front of him. Most people don't get past the first step. Most people never get to the realization, I need Jesus. They think they're good with whatever they have. He actually gets past the first step, and he gets so close that he can almost grab it. And he's not willing to follow because his wealth is too rooted into his heart. His heart is so attached to his money that he can't complete the process. Church, there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with accumulating possessions. Abraham and David and Solomon were rich, okay? They had many possessions. The problem, though, is if our possessions have us. If we are so focused on holding on to them and storing them up, if we're unwilling to kick them out of the throne room of our heart where Jesus belongs, then they do become a problem. And here's the thing about money. The danger is that it promises to provide things that only God can provide. Really, that's idolatry in general. Idolatry promises to give us joy. It promises to give us happiness. It promises to give us our value and our self-worth. And for a while, maybe, it fills that void. But ultimately, God can only give us those things. And money is no different as an idol. It promises to, first of all, give us a sense of satisfaction. I think if we were being honest with ourselves, there's probably a number we could come up with. We could say, man, if I just could have X amount of dollars in my bank account, I'd be satisfied. You know, I look at, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes signed some ridiculous amount of money contract a few weeks ago. Like, I don't even need that much money, right? It's like, I'd take a 500th of that, and I'd be good, right? You know, we come up with this number. We're like, man, if I just had that, I would be satisfied. But I think if we look and if we listen to people who have achieved that X amount of dollars that we come up with, I don't think that's true. It wasn't true for the rich young ruler. He had wealth, and he still comes because he's wanting. I found some quotes, and these are just a few quotes of many that you can find of people who we would look at and say, man, they have more money than you could ever spend. And these are even people who lived long ago, who proportionally today would be among some of the richest people in America. I think you'll recognize some of the names. John Rockefeller was one quote. He said, I have made millions but they have brought me no happiness. Henry Ford said, I was happier whenever I was doing a mechanic's job. Maybe the most telling of all, Andrew Carnegie, very simply just said, millionaires seldom smile. See, money promises things that it doesn't end up fulfilling. There's this allure to it that, man, if I have that, I'll be satisfied, and it's just not true. The other thing that it promises is security. And I think this might be the most difficult one. This is the one that we maybe hold on to the tightest. That again, if I just had, you know, a nest egg to fall back on, if I just had this much saved away for when my car breaks down, maybe you're facing retirement in a few years and you're just thinking, man, if I had this amount of money in my bank account, I would feel comfortable to be able to retire and be good. We like that sense of security, but I think if we've learned anything over the last few months, we maybe have learned that that is a false sense of security. We get quarterly things in the mail from some of our financial investments that we have, and I think I got one back in May, and I didn't even open it. I was like, pretty sure I know what it's going to say, and it's not going to be good, so I'm just going to put it in the file cabinet. So that stuff can change so quickly. Your house can go up in flames in a second. Your car can break down. Hospital bills can mount. Aren't you glad you're here this morning for this joyful message? But now listen, those things are so fleeting. In Proverbs 23, it says that as soon as you put your eyes to money, they fly away as if it has wings. When we put our security in things that are fleeting, it promises that it will fulfill us and make us happy. It promises that it will give us security, but the truth is it won't. In Hebrews 13:5, it says this. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. It says, keep your life free from the love of money, but instead, focus on the fact that God says, I will never leave you or abandon you. See, those promises that money says it will provide, that it really won't, those promises are fulfilled in this verse. That sense of satisfaction, that sense of security, ultimately, this is all we need. God says, don't worry about that stuff. You get me. And I'm not leaving. I'm not going to forsake you. Just focus on me. I will give you the satisfaction that you need. I will give you the security that you need. I will give you the fulfillment, the joy, the happiness. Anything that money promises to give you ultimately is found in me. So don't chase after money because it's fleeting. It's a false lie that promises things that it's not going to deliver. But instead, focus on the fact that God will always deliver, always fulfill what we need him to fulfill. There's another danger in being focused on wealth, and that is that it takes our eyes off of eternity. In Matthew 6, Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in verse 19, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, your money follows your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, all these things that you build up and all these things that you possess, they can be stolen, they can rot away, moths can get in and ruin them. Those things are fleeting and they're temporary. Those things will break down, those things will go away, and they won't last into eternity. A.W. Tozer is a Christian author and theologian that's passed away, and in one of his books, he writes about how just a little bit of money placed in the wrong position can completely distort your view of anything else. So you could go to the Grand Canyon and take two dimes and hold them in front of your eyes, and if you hold them close enough, you can't see anything but the dimes in front of you, right? And that's how it works with God. Just a little bit of money in the wrong place can distort our view, and we get focused on things that are earthly and are temporal instead of focusing on the things that are eternal and that will outlast us. 1 Timothy 6 in verse 7 says this, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these, but those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Mallory and I watched this show on the History Channel called American Pickers. Is anyone familiar with this show? These guys have a store, maybe a couple stores, and they go around and they just buy junk from people. And they put it in their stores, and then other people come and buy the junk. And it's just this, like, vicious cycle. And they are always looking for signs, motorcycles, bikes, car parts, or just anything that they think is valuable. And really, they encounter two different kinds of people as they're out picking. There are some people who they're constantly buying and selling things. Like on the show, they say, like, the joy for us is, you know, the hunt or the find. They like selling something, so then they have money to go buy more stuff because they just like to go to flea markets or the garage sales and just pick through and you know, find the treasure that's there. But then there's another group of people, and this is maybe the ones that they encounter the most often. These are people who they just say, hey, we've gotten to an age in our life where we realize that if we don't start getting rid of some of this stuff, we're going to just leave it to our kids, and we don't want them to have to just clean up all this mess. Because when I say collect stuff, this is not like, you know, on a shelf. This is like their yard is full of things. Their barn is full of junk. Their garage is full of cars. I mean, this is a lot of stuff, okay? And these people come to the realization, I've spent my lifetime collecting all these things. Here pretty soon, I'm going to pass away. And all this stuff is going to be here. What have I been doing? They come to the realization, I brought nothing into the world, and I can't take anything out of the world, and I have all this stuff here that ultimately is pointless. It's temporary, and it has taken their eyes off of eternity, and it has put it on stuff that is earthly. And here's the danger in that. Most people, if you were given them the choice, most people can easily choose between heaven and hell. That's a pretty easy choice for people to make, right? The difficulty is choosing between heaven and earth. That's the danger of money. It takes our focus away from what's eternal, and it puts it on things that are temporary, and it makes us lose sight of what's important. And because our heart follows our money, when we begin to accumulate stuff and when we don't do what God has asked us to do with our money, our focus shifts to things that are earthly. And we begin to choose earth over heaven. Because our heart follows our money. There's one thing that is a common thread throughout these passages that we've looked at. One thing that Jesus says, this is what you can do to guard against that. Like, be careful about these dangers and these pitfalls, but then do this instead. Going back to the rich young ruler, he says this, "You lack one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Matthew 6 says the same thing. 1 Timothy 6 says the same thing. It says, "Store up treasure that will outlast you. Be willing to give away what you have. And not just to give it away, but give it away for the sake of the kingdom." Because just giving our money to frivolous things is not the answer. But giving it towards the kingdom, that is the answer. Invest in a mission that is spreading the gospel around the world. Give to Show Me Christian Youth Home or Shiloh that is working to help teenagers who have lost their way or who are fostered. Give to Shragi Christian Mission, who is advancing the gospel in Africa. Do something with your money that will outlast you, because that's the only way to guard against it becoming an idol and taking root in your heart. To store up treasures in heaven, give to the kingdom. That is the answer. I want, just because this happened Monday night, we had a leaders meeting, and Gary said, "Hey, you know, we're in a pretty good spot financially. We've got quite a bit of money in the bank." And he suggested, "Hey, why don't we throw some extra money towards our missions?" And we were all on board with that. And then what's awesome, what I love about our leadership, someone was like, "Hey, why don't we give more than that?" You know, Gary threw out a number, and he wasn't saying not to give more than that. He just was throwing a starting place out. Someone was like, "Hey, we've got money. Why don't we give on top of that?" We gave $1,500 to every mission that we support, all seven of them, on a regular basis this past week. Amen. Yeah. Since the start of the craziness with COVID, we've given over $15,000 extra in missions, because a few months ago we gave $2,500 to GNPI and to EK in India. And I tell you that to say thank you for being a generous church, and I also tell you that your money is going towards the kingdom. The money that you give is storing up treasure in heaven. You are already doing that, and we might not see what that is. We might not get to see the benefits from that, but know that as you give, your giving is outlasting you. It is going towards the kingdom and advancing it in ways that are incredible. And people are hearing the good news of Jesus. People are being fed. People are being clothed, because as a church, I think we do very well with understanding that, man, if we don't give away our money, it's going to start to control us. It's going to take root in our heart, and it's going to get on the place of the throne of our heart where it doesn't belong, where only Jesus belongs. Because our heart follows our money. I ran across 8 questions that I just think are really, really good practical questions to ask ourselves in regards to answering this question. Does money have a place in my heart where it doesn't belong? So I'm just going to run through these pretty quickly. The first one is, do thoughts of money consume my day? Does the financial success of others make me jealous? Do I define my success in terms of what I have rather than what I am in Christ? Does my family get neglected in pursuit of stuff? Do I find myself able to close my eyes to the genuine needs of others? Do I live with a paralyzing fear of losing whatever money I may have? Am I prepared to borrow myself into bondage? And lastly, does God receive my leftovers rather than my first fruits? I came across those, and man, it was like, whew, it's pretty good. It's a little challenging. Those are some good questions for ourselves to reflect on. I'll wrap up with this. Back in March, I mentioned our offerings have been great. You guys have been so generous. We've been blown away by that. The first 2 weeks of the shelter in place, when we didn't meet here physically, That was not really the case. I think we just hadn't really got word out about, hey, if you want to send money, here's what you do. So those last 2 weeks of March, it was pretty slim as far as the offerings go around here. And also right around that time, there was a deposit that was due to the company that cuts our corn maize for us at the beginning of April. And so that timing was just not great. And so I was talking with Gary and just the rest of the leadership. You know, I was like, do we want to do this? And we decided we should. And then I started having a conversation with Mallory. And I was like, we don't really know what's happening. Things are so new. Again, this is completely fresh. Where no one's working. This is kind of crazy. We don't know what church is going to look like over the next few weeks. Like, what if we put the deposit down that's due in April? And again, this is not to glorify us. Please don't think that, because there's a greater point that I'll get to. So we decided to do that. We thought about it. We prayed about it. We decided, yes, we can do that. We're in a spot that we can make that happen. And so we decided that we were going to move forward and do that. And man, then over the next few days, these thoughts start popping in my head. It's like the whole world is shut down. Do we really think we're going to have a corn maze in October? It's like, it'd be really easy to tell the guy, hey, you know what? This year, we're probably just going to nix this thing. We'll see you next fall. And then thoughts creep in my head. Like, you know you're having a baby soon, right? I don't know if you guys knew this. This is free. Those are expensive. And so I'm sitting there before I've written the check, and I'm like, this is not a good idea. And so the reason I'm telling you this story is to tell you I'm still fighting the idol myself. I still have the tendency to hold on to the wealth. It still takes root in my heart, and I have to fight to get it out of there. Because my heart follows my money. But when I remember, man, the kingdom is what matters. Giving to something greater than myself that will outlast me, that is going to get the message to people who need hope, that's what matters. Our money follows our heart. So why don't we make sure that we're leading it in the right direction? Do you guys pray with me? God, thank you for this series. God, money is important, and it all comes from you. And so we just pray that we would have hearts that are willing to give. Help us just to make sure that we do keep you at the center of our lives, and that things like possessions and wealth don't take root in our hearts. God, we're grateful for the work that is done through our missions as we give to your kingdom, and we pray that you would just go ahead of that money, and that you would bless the efforts of those who are on the mission field. God, bless every person here that gives towards your kingdom. And God, just help us to keep you at the center of our lives. God, we just lift up these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.